Prep Sports Now. Got some statistics to start you off this Monday afternoon. Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. I promise we got a lot of things to talk about on the podcast. We're going to get to other things, but we got at least, I mean, we had such a good conversation last week. We got some feedback on it. We got to kind of finish this up, right? You agree that the home versus away?
Well, clearly you're only bringing it up because you think you have some stats.
Here's the thing we learned. Well, no, I'll say some people backed you. I'd say.
Well, first of all, I was the one that said the home court in Vegas hoops is meaningless.
Yeah, you said it was meaningless. And I feel like fans, or maybe not even fans, people that don't really pay that close of attention but kind of are into high school basketball agree with you. They say it doesn't matter. I don't see what it is. We didn't hear from that many coaches. Heard maybe two, and they were more on my side. I think the coaches are more on my side. Maybe the observers are more on your side. But I took it upon myself to just do a little bit, not very much. I'm sure you're going to dispute this somehow. A little bit of math to get some numbers behind what we do. I looked at the Northeast Division last year because that's the one where you say home field or home court, excuse me, really doesn't matter, right? I can't do any of the other ones. You're going to say, well, Palo has an advantage, Gorman, basic. I looked at just the Northeast. All right. Every single team had a better record at home than away, except for one, Desert Pines, which doesn't really make sense, but Desert Pines is a better away team. At home, teams had a 6-11 winning percentage. On the road, 460. Explain that to me. Why, if home field, if it doesn't matter, how do you explain it?
Two things. One, you're playing more games at home, right?
Why was that mean? Why would that mean you'd win?
Just because you got a better chance to schedule some cream puffs at home.
I don't necessarily agree with that. No, I mean, like, look, like, and that's not always true. Some teams have more away games. Not all, but some.
Okay. All right.
So, no, I don't agree with that.
Well, the stats are the stats. You're right. Teams win more at home than they do on the road. But when push comes to shove, I just think that if you're the better team and you need the win, you're going to win no matter where it is. You're going to have two baskets, five guys on each team. You're going to put your sneakers on, and you're going to win the game. I don't care if you're, you know, an inferior team or a superior team. No matter where you play, shouldn't matter, in my humble opinion.
All right. Well, I think it matters in every sport on every level, and I think that the numbers prove it. But anyway, I guess let's get into this week. Let's get into this year. Enough looking back at last year. I opened with the Northeast, talking about what they did last year. How about we start things off with the Northeast? I'm not going to lie. Out of the divisions this year, I think the Northeast is the one I'm most intrigued by. I think we talked about it last week. There's a bunch of good teams. Seems like there's some parity there.
Could I play devil's advocate?
Okay, go ahead.
Are they good teams or are they just mediocre? Because I think there's five teams in the Northeast: Valley, Vegas, DP, L Doggy Dog, and Canyon Springs, that on any given day, home or away, could beat each other. Would you agree?
I'm not sure I'm putting L Dog in that category anymore.
No way.
They're 1-3. They've lost to all those teams pretty much. I know you're really high on them, but I haven't seen it. I'm wondering if it's just the four. I'm not saying L Dog isn't. I want to see the rest of the year. But I don't think, no, I would definitely wouldn't say mediocre teams. I think those four teams can match up pretty well with four teams from any other division.
No
not
way.
Take away the top.
No way.
Take away the top. You're telling me like the Southeast is better than the Northeast.
You're telling me that any one of those four teams would have a chance. I guarantee you Centennial or Palo would go into any one of those four teams and win by 10.
And Palo has beaten most of them, and so is Centennial. But, okay, then get to 3 or 4. I would take the 3 and 4 in the Northeast over the 3 and 4 in the Northwest. You wouldn't? That's 2 and 2. That's even.
Who would that be?
All right, let's say it's Vegas and Canyon Springs versus Legacy and, I mean, who else is it? Legacy and Cheyenne, maybe?
Oh, I take Chi-Town.
All right, well, I don't. I disagree.
But you're right, though. You're right, though. I think I think Palo and Centennial were a bad example. I think those two teams are pretty special.
Yeah, those two are the top.
They're going to beat pretty much 1-2 in every league except for the one in the Southwest, which is Gorman.
But here's what I really wanted to get to in the Northeast. I've got like two or three teams today that I want to mention that I think we have criminally overlooked.
I agree with
And I think number one is Valley.
I agree.
They're undefeated. They look like they might be the best team in the Northeast. Look, I think maybe the reason we overlooked them, they lost a couple of maybe their more flashy players last year, a couple of guards. But I got to tell you, last year, We know they upset Canyon Springs. Probably their best player, if he could just be a little bit more consistent, was the forward. I think he plays four, Caleb Carter. Just really does a lot for you, is a versatile guy, and I think he's been great so far this year, and I think that's why Valley is a team we need to look out for, and the Vikings might be the best team in the Northeast.
I mean, they might be. They'll get a chance, I guess, this week to prove it on Thursday. They play Canyon Springs at home. I still am not sold on Valley. I know Farnsworth does a great job over there, and I know that Valley never has a shortage of athletes. But I don't know what it is. You're right, we have overlooked them. If they beat Canyon, though, now all of a sudden we're saying that Valley's the best team over there. They're the one. They're the team that could be favored to win the region. Because I think we both agree that the Northeast is better than the Southeast, right?
Yes.
I mean, if Green Valley beat Coronado, and Coronado is supposed to be one of the best teams in the Southeast, which clearly it's not anymore. You know, you needed two OTs to beat Basic. You lose to Green Valley. So now Foothill, which is young and definitely has some blemishes on its record, is the best team over there. I think the Northeast might sweep in the playoffs.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I think Foothill could probably beat the four. I haven't seen them this year. I know they had some struggles before their division, but they're 4-0 in the division. You kind of led me in perfectly. If you have anything else to say about the Northeast, feel free to bring it up. We're just talking here. But the other team that I think we've overlooked, maybe not you because you picked them, but me, Silverado, they're undefeated in the Southeast. Right now they're in second, ahead of Coronado. They're two best players from last year. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I didn't even realize they were back. The Reuben Jackson kid was great last year. David Ware is a guy that does some stuff inside for him. I think Silverado's awfully good. They're going to be battling near the top of the Southeast all year.
Well, they had a nice win against Basic last week. Still, Silverado's one of these teams, I guess, like Valley for me, where it's like, have they overexceeded? They kind of might be like Bonanza in football, where, you know, Bonanza kept winning and winning, but you knew eventually they'd come back down to earth. And, you know, they came back down to earth, obviously, playing Gorman and Arbor to close out the year. And I know Silverado's got some nice players on the wing and at the guard, but how are they on the inside? I think ultimately, while you could have some success in the Southeast, which isn't the strongest of leagues, I don't know if it'll carry over to the playoffs against the Northeast. So to be announced, but I have picked Silverado religiously on this show, so I will take credit for that.
Skyhawks are 12-2, 4-0. Here's the thing, and I probably agree with you. They might not have as much talent. Pure talent is like a Foothill or a Coronado. But one thing Silverado does great, and I don't want to sound like a broken record here, as I said this a bunch last year, is they play really good defense. And if you play that good a defense, if you focus on that and make that kind of the vocal point of your team, you can compete with anyone because, I mean, there's hardly anyone that scores a lot of points on these guys. So I think if they can implement their style, these low-scoring games, they're going to find a lot of success, continue to find a lot of success.
Sure. Thursday, a big day. Silverado also plays Coronado at Coronado. And bottom line, listen, we expected Coronado to run away with this league. Michael Lauder is a borderline Division I prospect, depending on who you ask. He's got the size. He supposedly added a little pick and pop to his game this year. And this guy needs to score 10 more points a game. I mean, he's scoring 18 one night, 19 one night, 21 points a night. You got to be the guy. You got to want the ball every possession, take it to the rack. There's no way you lose to Green Valley, in my humble opinion.
I was very surprised to see they lost to Green Valley. I knew Green Valley had some talent, but they had kind of struggled earlier in the year. Maybe it's going to be like last year where they turned it around. They get better. But right now, I mean, we're only four games in, but it kind of looks clear who maybe the four best teams are in the Southeast, at least to me. Do you see any of these other teams behind? I mean, I guess Basic or Liberty, do you see any of them competing for the playoffs, or are we getting what we see so far?
Well, I mean, Basic gave Coronado a two overtime scare, and I think Basic is going to have an opportunity to squeeze into the playoffs. You got to remember, last year they lost there at the end to Silverado in the playing game. So let's not count Basic out yet. I think that in that league, it's not like anybody's jumping off the charts as good. Could it have been? We had some news last week, Kiefer, the annual Gorman-Finley game at the Cox Pavilion. They added an undercard of sorts, a Foothill-Coronado. The rivalry game that was supposed to happen this week gets held off until the 21st of January. at the Cox Pavilion. It's going to be a big venue, great day of basketball, three games, slam dunk contest. Everybody go over to the Rebel UNLV New Mexico game afterwards. Do you think, and this is just me totally being a conspiracy theorist, do you think that maybe Coronado overlooked Green Valley because they're looking forward to that big day on the 21st? Just my theory, totally out of left field.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I think that I think Coronado would have won the game if it was at Coronado, to bring up our old argument. It was at Green Valley. They're playing on the road. Green Valley
is like a four-mile trip.
Well, it is. How many times do I have to explain this to you? It doesn't matter the trip. I think it's been too far removed from when you've played sports. You understand. It's something you can't explain. When you're an athlete, there's familiarity around what you do every day.
When I was an athlete, we were so good that we would go anywhere and win. Bottom line.
Okay, maybe that's true.
Roll out the ball and let's play.
Maybe that's true. But
you're telling me that Green Valley beat Coronado because Coronado was out of its rhythm. It wasn't used to the baskets.
The cheerleaders weren't yelling for them. It was a one-point game, right? You're telling me if it's a one-point game, if this exact thing was flipped, the game was at Coronado, you think Green Valley still would have won on Friday night.
Coronado overlooked Green Valley because Coronado thinks it's one of the better teams in the league.
No, I think that has
more to do with it than the gym or the dark uniforms.
No, it has nothing to do with the uniforms. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you might be right. But I think not playing at home had a lot to do with it. I think that if you flip that game, if it was at Coronado, Coronado wins. I don't see how you disagree. It was a one-point game.
And now they're going to beat Green Valley by 30 points at their house.
They're going to kill them at their house.
Because they're going to be motivated to play because they got destroyed.
All right, well, then how do you explain on our picks last week, 6-2, the home teams? You picked all away teams. That's why you went 3-5. How do you explain? It happens over and over and over. The home team
lost by 1 point.
The home team wins close games over and over and over.
What we're talking about is a kid that enters the scores punched in the wrong number. 1 point. It wasn't like
this is one game. You're telling me in the history of sports, if we go back 10 years in Las Vegas, I guarantee you the home team has a lot better winning percentage than the losing team. You're telling me this is all just a coincidence? This just doesn't make sense. Years and years upon sports, there's been studies about this. I mentioned the thing I ran at Sports Illustrated. There's a book about it that ran 30 years worth of data, why the home team wins more than the away team in all levels of sports. You're telling me it's a coincidence? Every single team's just looking ahead? That's why the away team performs worse than the home team?
No, I'm saying we're not talking about like, okay, I understand the home team does better college basketball, the NFL. I'm talking Las Vegas high school basketball.
And we have stats to prove that the home team has played better than the away team. Two coaches gave us feedback that they have played better at home than away. All the stats have the home team with a better record than the away team. Is that just all a coincidence? That's what I'm asking you. I'm going to go back further next week. I'm going to look back as far as I can.
I don't know if it's a coincidence, but what I'm saying is that if you truly are the better team, no matter where the game's being played, I can't picture a group of high school kids sitting there in the locker room like, okay, we're on the road. We're at Green Valley. God, there's like 200 people in the crowd.
No, it's not like that at all.
How are we going to rally?
That's not what I'm saying. It's not like that at all. It's something that it's almost hard to explain, but when you're at home, you're getting more calls going your way. You feel more familiarity. You know the basket's better. I don't care what. You're mocking me for that. I do agree with that. It's easier to shoot in your home court. Anybody that plays basketball will tell you it's easier to shoot at your home court. I think it makes a point or two advantage. I wish we could do this. We can't because no one's going to agree to it. I wish we could call up some odds makers and say, like professional, real odds makers, and say, make a line on Green Valley at Coronado, make a line at Coronado at Green Valley. The line is going to be different.
Let's do a real good team that's not going to get affected where they play. Bishop Gorman,
okay,
right? A ton of D1 kids, uh-huh, nationally ranked at parts of the season. They're at Clark Friday, the best team in town. The local team that is going to give Gorman the best matchup. Clark. Mm-hmm. Gorman at Clark. This is our $5 game. How many points does Gorman win by?
How about we make this the $5 bet for the whole season? I will bet you that Gorman wins by more at home than it does at Clark.
Okay.
All right. Great. Gorman wins by more at home than at Clark.
We're talking an average day of basketball. Gorman could beat Clark anywhere. Definitely.
They're that much better. I'm not saying the away team's going to win when it's this big of a discrepancy. I'm saying when it's 1 or 2 point games, if you're giving me a pick 'em game, even in Las Vegas, I think there's a one-point advantage at home. I think if we called the best odds makers in Las Vegas, we know we have some.
Okay,
we gave them the stuff. The team that was at home would maybe be a one-point favorite at home, would be a one-point underdog away.
Okay, let me ask you this, and this is probably proves your point a little more, though. So you're telling me that when they do the playoffs, okay, the regional playoffs last year were at Foothill, right? Mm-hmm. Foothill has an advantage because they're playing in their home gym for the tournament?
Yes. You saw what they did to Canyon Springs. Yeah, they played Canyon Springs better than anyone.
As I formulate the question, I know the answer.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I think we're going to argue about this forever. I think the stats are on my side. I think everything that makes sense is on my side, but it's fine. We'll agree to disagree. I'm glad you mentioned Clark, though, in this argument, because Clark, I want to put them as the third team and kind of my theme today of teams we're overlooking a little bit. Clark, we're not really overlooking. We knew they'd be good, but I think you and I talked about them twice the other two times on the podcast, said, you know, let's hold off. Let's not crown them yet. Let's see what they're going
to
do.
They did lose to Cheyenne.
They lost to Cheyenne in the first game of the year. Since then, they're 12-1, and they aren't just beating teams. They're destroying teams. They're beating them bad. I think that we need to scratch the let's wait and see with Clark. I think they're a very good team.
Okay, what's the I know we've got a bet, a future bet on this game. What do you make Gorman as a favorite in this game?
I'd say 25.
25.
What were you going to say?
Lower than 25.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
well, what were you gonna...
That just shows you. I was thinking somewhere between 18 and 22.
I think it's got to be over 20.
I mean, I think I got Gorman winning by 22, 90, 68 in our picks, but it just goes to show you that Gorman is clearly head and shoulders, because you just went on this rant about how Clark's like 12-1 and yada, yada, yada.
I mean, if you look at what Clark's done, it's pretty impressive. They lost to Cheyenne. I kind of give them a pass in that game because it was the first game of the year, new coach, new players. You're still getting into your
it
rhythm.
It was at Cheyenne, I think, too, right?
There you go. They really, I mean, since then, you look at, I think I have their schedule right here. They're not just beating teams. I mean, they're destroying them. I know these teams aren't good, but Desert Oasis, 78-41. And like I said, I know they're not good. They went to Las Vegas, win by 5. They beat Sierra Vista, 76-48. Bonanza, who is actually playing pretty well, 3-1 in their division, they beat them 83-51. They're just making a mockery out of these teams.
Do you think they beat Centennial or Palo?
I think Centennial or Palo is the favorite, but it's close. I think they could. If you're asking me, could they? Definitely.
Okay.
I'd like to see
those
games in the playoff.
We'll likely see that.
Yeah.
Because Clark will be the 2, and Centennial will be the 1, and Palo will be the 2, hypothetically. So we'll get that in the semis.
Right,
Centennial
right.
against Clark.
And I'll look forward to that for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do our picks real fast. We've been 17-minute podcast today.
But we are giving good information today, in my opinion.
Palo at Chi-Town. We just talked about how Palo and Centennial are clearly the second and third best teams in town. You picked the order. With that said, I go out on a limb. Upset City. I got Cheyenne at home beating Palo, 70-67. I just like Cheyenne. I've got a Case Kiefer-esque crush on him. And I take the Desert Shields with the W.
Yeah, not to play spoiler, but just look at this. Subconsciously, you are realizing how much home court means. You're picking the home team in, I think, 3 of the first 4 games are picking today. Last week, you picked the away team, and I think every game.
No, just 2 out of the first 4.
Oh, okay. Well,
either
the
way.
First 2, at
yes,
least.
The
okay,
first 2. Yes.
I don't see it at all. I think Palo is a lot better than Cheyenne. Maybe I'm underestimating Cheyenne. If they beat Palo, I'll come in here and eat my words next Monday, but I'm taking Palo.
See, I have a problem with Cheyenne in several sports. I'm just in love with the athletes over there, but I think it's probably from 10 years ago when they had, like, Quentin Carter and, you know, good players running around. Probably not the case anymore.
Yeah, I still think they got some good athletes. Maybe not that level, but I think it's going to be a tough game for Palo, but I think Palo prevails.
Legacy at Cimarron. Legacy, close victory against Arbor last week. I think the Longhorns are positioning to try to sneak into the playoffs. I don't see him beating Cimarron. Eric Brewer, no relation, 6'5", scores about 20 points a game. I think he's one of the area's most underrated players.
Yeah, I think I've got to correct you. Arborview won in overtime.
Oh, did
they? They beat Legacy.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think Arborview has also beat Cimarron. So these are two teams that Arbor's lost to. I really want to take Cimarron here. I feel like I feel like they should be better than they are at this point. They have DeMarlo Lewis and Eric Brewer, like you said, but they've kind of struggled. I think they're on like a three-game losing streak. Legacy was actually on a winning streak before the overtime loss to Arborview. I really want to pick Cimarron, but I feel like I might as well line up against you on two straight picks. I'll go Legacy in what I think is a pick 'em game.
Okay, I agree. It's going to be close. Canyon at Valley. Canyon won state last year. They're young. We've talked about it every week. Valley undefeated in the Northeast. We just sung their praises. With that said, I'm taking Canyon, the road team, because I think they're better.
I'm going Valley here. I know I already talked about it, so I don't want to devote this whole podcast to one kid, but I forgot until today when I was looking at the stats how much I liked the Caleb Carter kid last year. I think, you know, he's arguably the best player in the Northeast, so I'm going to take Valley.
And that's a big argument. Next game.
Who else do you have?
Julian Jacobs? Hassan Henderson?
Okay. Julian Jacobs, you got. I think Julian Jacobs won.
You're going to give that to me.
Julian Jacobs won. Honestly, and I like Hassan Henderson as a player, but the Carter kid, that is an argument. You could take either or.
Okay. And I guess Shaquille Carr doesn't count?
No. Okay. Not yet. Okay. He will in a couple of years.
Okay. DP against Vegas. I'll be honest, Case, I haven't picked a Vegas game right in basketball since we've been doing this. But I do know that Julian Jacobs is the man. I wish he would be a little more selfish. I watched when they play El Dorado, and the kid passes the ball beautifully, loves to get everybody involved, but there has got to be a certain time when you say, listen, I'm Julian Jacobs, I'm the best player in the league, I've got a ton of scholarship offers, I'm going to take over the game, and watch out Vegas because it's going to get ugly. And hopefully with my encouragement, he does that. Give me DP.
This is a really tough game. I don't know who I'm going to pick. I think if you would have asked me last week, I would have said Desert Pines was going to win the Northeast. Now I've kind of backed off on that. I think Valley might be the best team, but I'm going to go Vegas here. You keep picking against them. If you keep giving me Vegas, I think they're going to win a lot of games this year. So I'll take Vegas. Julian Jacobs, yeah, he's special, but Vegas probably has better guys 1 through 7.
Okay.
You
maybe.
Disagree?
Well, I mean,
this was your exact argument of why I think you took L-Dog over Desert Pines is because Desert Pines wasn't good in all positions. Now you're telling me they are all of a
sudden?
Well,
listen, I don't know much about Vegas, but I know that – I don't know.
Here's
listen.
Vegas's thing. They can't – they turn – the game I saw when they lost to Canyon Springs, they turned the ball over way too much in the first half. If Vegas limits their turnovers, I think they can beat anyone in the Northeast.
Okay. You know, Dunnigan, Major, Henderson against Jacobs and the other two guys – could be a good 3-on-3 game. It's a shame you got to put two other guys out there. No offense. Silverado at Coronado. I don't know what's going on with Coronado. Maybe I'm wrong. I got them beating Silverado by double digits. We sung Silverado's praises earlier in the show. We agreed that Coronado is playing like they're a little overrated. We'll find out what happens.
Yeah, since you couldn't really let me get to it because we just started arguing, I do kind of agree with you that they could have been looking past Green Valley a little bit in that game. Maybe they're a little high-headed. I think that, you know, the losses they've gone through, I think it's going to knock them down to earth. I think they're going to be excited to get out there against Silverado, and I really think they're going to run up and down the floor on Silverado. I think they're going to beat them pretty handily.
Okay.
So we agree on that one.
Sure.
We'll go on to Friday. Our game, Bishop Gorman and Clark. I guess we hadn't decided. Is this what we want to make our bet of the week? You have it 22. Do you want to give me a...
Well, see, I don't know. I think...
Or wait, you had it 22, so I'll give you Clark plus 25.
Clark plus 25. Well, I got to give Gorman a lot of credit for playing at subs in the second half, so I'll take
That's
it.
True.
Plus 25. All right.
Plus 25. We're back to even after... Last week when you gave me L-Dog plus 11, Vegas wins straight up. I think we agree. This is Gorman's game.
Gorman, yeah. Gorman we think is going to win big. How big? To be announced. Our $5 bet, I take Clark plus 25.
All right. Durango at Bonanza. I saw Durango last week. Pretty impressed. They have some good players over there. You had always only told me about Paris Estrada. I actually think they have a couple players that are better than him. He plays great defense, but the Tusk kid is outstanding. They got a couple athletes. Kid threw down an alley-oop. another kid dunked. I think that they're a pretty good team. That being said, upset Central, give me Bonanza.
No way. Yes. I think I like Durango in this game. I think Paris Estrada would be a legit Division I kid if he focused 24/7 on hoop. I know he also plays soccer and volleyball. Cheyenne Centennial. I don't think Cheyenne's going to beat both Palo and Centennial this week. I'll take the Bulldogs that are putting together a great season.
Yeah, Centennial all the way. Centennial easy here. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next Monday.